because I've been so busy with other projects, Star Wars was kind of off my radar this year. So I missed Star Wars Celebration in London, which I could fly to from here in like less than an hour. And then, of course, I only became aware of the ICC Nashville on just like days before it was kicking off. And what I really want to do is to make a physical copy of my Star Wars book, where I've recreated the original trilogy with the vintage figures. I want to bring that to a Star Wars show and just kind of show it around and see, can I find someone who's got a license that will publish it for me? Because I can't publish it because it's I'd get sued, you know?
But it's a beautiful book and it needs to be in my bookshelf.
This is the Order of Battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. It is with great pleasure that I sat down with Brian Hickey to talk about his ongoing Kickstarter with Bob Breakin. This isn't the first time Brian's been on, and I hope that we get Patty back on soon. But for now, if you're not familiar with who Bob is, you should be and you will be. This conversation was wonderful, and I get tongue-tied a lot, so I hope you enjoy it. And please back this book. It's going to be incredible. And when you're done with this conversation, take a look at the show notes so that you can see a couple other interviews with Brian and Bob, both. Now, next year, is the 60th anniversary for G.I. Joe.
That's right, of course, yeah. 12-inch G.I. Joe, the original G.I. Joe.
Action Man came out in 64 as well, or...
I think Action Man might have been, could be wrong. Well, it's in Bob's book exactly when it came out, but I think it's 67, 66, but it was a couple of years after because Hasbro already had their G.I. Joe out and Palatoy picked up the license. They licensed it to basically resell it in the UK as Action Man. It's already established in America by the time Palatoy got that license.
Did it come over as an action figure? Because I know like the term action figure, as lore has it, was designed for G.I. Joe because boys couldn't play with dolls. And so I don't know if that had the same doll, had the same connotation over in Ireland and the UK, or if anybody gave a shit, you know?
Action Man was never referred to as a doll. And Bob does address that whole thing in the book. And in fact, he deep dives into... how the name Action Man, how it came about, and then who actually came up with the name Action Man. So that's fully revealed in the book because that's never actually been properly documented or revealed before. There's a couple of major players in the Palatoy team from that era, and it's been attributed to various people, but Bob has kind of, through his own research, has come up with the definitive solution. And I'm not going to reveal it, right, but he's it's in the book who exactly and how they came up with the name Action Man. So because they couldn't call it G.I. Joe because that's an American military term and they didn't feel that would resonate in the UK. So they played around with a few different names and an Action Man was the name they landed on. Yeah, so it's pretty cool that how Bob kind of traces that story and comes up with the evidence to support it, you know.
Was Bob there from the very beginning then? Or did he come in a couple of years after? Because I know from what I understand, Bob is the originator of the Kung Fu Grip and the Flocked Hair, among other things.
Kung Fu Grip is Bob. The Flocked Hair was a different designer in Palatoy came up with that.
Okay.
It is a Palatoy innovation. And they did the dynamic physique and the sharpshooter head are all Palatoy innovations. But Bob was there, I think Bob was there before Action Man. So I think he might have been 66 when he joined.
Okay.
I have actually read the book as So I should have all of these kind of facts memorized at this stage. But so I could be out a little bit, but I'm pretty sure he was there before Action Man. And when Action Man arrived, he was put on that account and he stayed on that account until they eventually wound down the Action Man brand.
I think that's incredible because we look at Kirk, Bazigian, and Ron Rudat as kind of the fathers of our G.I. Joe, the 82 stuff. And I think Kirk worked on some of the like adventure team, but they weren't there at the beginning. So I didn't realize that Bob was old enough to be with Action Man from the jump and stayed to the end. Whereas, you know, over here, guys got shuffled around.
That's it. That's right. I mean, I've heard interviews with Kirk and some of, you know, on some of the other, you know, G.I. Joe podcasts and some of the other designers, and they seem to get shuffled around all right. And that's whereas the Palitoy team seemed fairly steadfast with they worked on different brands, but they were juggling multiple accounts at the same time. That's probably the best way to describe it. Whereas maybe Hasbro kind of focused their teams and said, well, we need this expertise over here. Keep you focused on this till you get this up and running, and then we'll move you to the next thing.
I do find that interesting. I would be curious to sit down with Kirk and hash some of that out, especially in comparison to Bob's, to his story and his history and legacy. Wait, so you guys were on Chris's podcast, and Bob was saying he's been working on this for quite some time. Did he write all this himself? Did Patty jump in and help? Because I know you guys are a team, or is this a...
On this particular project, Patty's not involved in this project. Bob is handling all the writing duties himself. And it would have been great to have Patty involved, to be honest. Patty's brilliant. He's obviously got the passion for her. He's got the interest in the history. And he would have been a great partner, you know, to kind of to work on it. And then in terms of helping me with the Kickstarter and stuff, it would have been great to have Patty's involvement because he's brilliant at that stuff. But by the time Bob came to me to ask if I would design it, he already had a first draft completed.
Oh, wow.
So this was a project he had started working on. I think he said on Chris's show it was like 10 or 12 years he'd been working on it. Maybe originally he didn't have the idea of an actual book. It might have been just kind of collecting kind of personal a history for himself. But it started to grow legs over time. And around the time that we were working on Total Action Force of Battleers, so back in 2020, we had reached out to Bob to say, look, we were going to do this book, myself and Paddy, and you know, could we interview him? And he was really gracious and said yes. And obviously I have that interview in the book.
And it's a great interview.
It's a brilliant interview. Reveals so much. And in fact, you would think from reading that interview, he revealed everything, which he didn't, by the way. He held back on some serious nuggets about Action Force. But before we went to print, I sent a copy of that chapter to Bob for him to review it. So it was his interview and then the other Palitoy staff interviews as well. He just read over all of them, just to fact check and double check everything. And on some of the Palitoy history, he picked up on a few things that they were, we won't say they were wrong, but they weren't accurate. There were slight inaccuracies in the history. So he corrected them for us. And at that point, he said, look, I've actually been working on the history of Palitoy. So all of this stuff, I have all the, you know, I've got all this detail about the formative years of the company. So I had said to him, you know, kind of very casually, and this is in the middle of the Kickstarter now for Total Action Force of Battleers in 2021. I very casually said, well, do you know what, Bob? If ever you're looking for a designer to ever design that book for you, just give me a shout. I'd love to help you. And I kind of forgot all about it until late last year. He said, okay, Brian, I'm ready to go with this book. He's still interested in helping me to design it and to get it out there. So I said, hell yes, you know. It's a dream come true project, you know, to work with.
Absolutely.
So he sent me the first draft. And 90,000 words, it took me weeks to read it because I was trying to fit it in between working on, you know, other projects and the day job and everything else. But as I was reading it, it was blowing my mind. I mean, it gives you the full history of Palitoy from its inception in 1919. It wasn't called Palitoy in 1919. That name didn't come about till the 60s when it was the toy division of Castle Lloyd was sold off to General Mills. But more than that, it looks at the birth of the toy industry itself. I don't know if Bob intended to do that, but it's kind of a byproduct of all the outside influences that forced Castaloid or pushed Cataloid down into producing toys are the same circumstances that led to the creation of the toy industry. And all the companies that kind of came and went from a British perspective mostly, but there are, you know, German and US-based companies, Sue mentioned as well, that they rose and fell over the decades. And that's a large portion of the book is devoted to that very early history. But there's equally a really large portion devoted to when Bob joins Palitoy and all those vintage brands like Action Man, like Action Force, like Star Wars. And then on the girls' toy side of things, you had Tressie and Pippa and Tiny Tears. And then for the family, you had your board games. Palitoy even got into electronic toys as well in its kind of latter years. All of that is in there. And Bob gives a lot of like a very generous word count to all those different brands. Like, it's unbelievably comprehensive, and it's 90,000 words. So to put that in perspective, that's more than double the amount of words that's in the Total Action Force, the Battle Years book. So it's huge what's in there. And my job is going to be trying to design a book that's beautiful enough and is as visually rich enough to do justice to that amazing story that he's put together.
I'm floored by this. So everything you just said, there's no way he could have put that in just a small interview for your book.
No.
You know, I don't know if you or anybody else has read The Toy Wars, which was written in the late 90s. It was a journalist who just sort of camped out inside a Hasbro for like 3 years. But it jumps all the way back to the beginning of, you know, the Hasselfelds, how they came over from Russia, fleeing from anti-Semitic policies and sentiments, and how they started not as toys and everything else. And then Palitoy, which you outlined in Total Action Force and just now, 1919. So it is funny how ready the world was for this. You know, 1919 for you guys with Palitoy, 1921 for us with the Hasselfelds, not necessarily toy companies throughout the years with this and that. They become toy companies, and not just toy companies, but world-defining toy companies.
Yes.
And then they work together. They work together to really just change the landscape and create. I'm sure our grandparents collected something here or there, but I don't know anyone that collects action figures or dolls or toys outside of maybe Army Men before the 60s. And there's something in the water that on both sides of the ocean, one of the oceans, kind of the same thing's happening, the same you and I, the same children are happening, the same. I think it's fantastic. And to have Bob kind of break down and go through all of that, and not just from a historian's perspective, but an insider's perspective, how do you beat that? How do you compete with that as a writer, as a publisher? Like, you can't. Like, he's not just a guy who's telling you about it. He's a guy who's there and had enormous impact on the world. When you look at Kung Fu Grip, when you look at Robo Skull, when you look at, he worked on Star Wars and G.I. Joe and Action Man and Action.
I mean, Bob is so modest. You know, he's actually one of the nicest people I've ever met. And that's, you know, I really mean that. He's a really lovely person, and he's such a modest guy. And it's nearly inspirational when you hear him talking about himself and his work and the people he worked with. He's always very, very quick to give credit to his colleagues from Palitoy. He won't take credit for. So there's a really popular misconception, right, that people think he came up with the Flocked Hair. And people say that to him all the time, you know, the Kung Fu Grip and the Flocked Hair. And he's happy to kind of, you know, talk about, yeah, I model it off my left hand and when I sculpted it out because I was drawing with my right and I was looking at my left hand, whatever. But the Flocked Hair, like, he'd be very quick to put you straight and say, yeah, that actually wasn't, that was this other guy over here in Palitoy came up with that idea. And that was a great idea that he was able to take industrial technologies and apply them to toys, stuff that they were using for other industrial products, and apply it to toys, and then boom, we got Flocked Hair. So he's a great guy, you know, so modest and very articulate in his writing. It's really well written, you know, very, very easy to read, very detailed, but very easy to read, and flows really well.
He's had a lifetime in the creative arts.
Yes.
So I guess being a little succinct with his words is probably not, as I butcher a whole sentence just to say that he's succinct. I'm excited for this book. The minute I heard a hint of this book, I was excited. Knowing you were involved, knowing that it's Bob's story, but now this is well more than Bob's story.
Oh, yeah.
And it just makes it, this is part of our world, the toy world's history. It gets me kind of spinning where I need to read this, and I'm excited to read it. It's going to go to the top of the book pile. And I have 8 books in the unread pile right now that just sits beside my bed. It's going to go to the top of that. I'm going to read it immediately. But I know I got a little while to wait because we still got a few weeks to go. We have Joe Fest right around the corner. So this is going to end right after Joe Fest.
Okay. Wow. Boy.
That's a great call to order of if you are the type of person that is willing to spend plane ticket money or gas money in a hotel and come to a convention with 5,000 to 8,000 other people who just want to be around toys for 3 or 4 days, or you're like me and you show up for 5 to 6 days for a 3-day show, you know, spend the money on this. I don't remember the exact price on the book. It is coming from overseas if you're in the States. So shipping's not going to be exactly cheap, but I now have a couple books from you guys, which are wildly beautiful. And I know you've said Patty's not working on this one, so it's half the team, but you have included Bob's words and his works, his thoughts in your other stuff. And now this is all his. It would confound me if somebody wasn't interested in this.
Having read it myself, it really is a must-have book. If you're seriously interested in toy collecting and in the toy industry, it's a must-have book. And, you know, in terms of breaking the cost down for people, I mean, at the basic level to get a book, it would probably shipped to the States, would probably work out at, could be around $100 to get it shipped to the States. So that's shipped from Ireland. So the book will weigh over 2.5 kilos when it's packed. So that's going to knock it into a higher shipping tier. So unfortunately, it's a little bit more pricey on that front, but we've worked it so that it is about $100 to get it to international backers.
I think $100 is fine. I in today's day and age, this isn't the 90s. That was 30 years ago. It's not the 80s. That was 40 years ago. $100, I think, for a bespoke, custom, independent book written by the guy who was there, designed by someone who has been in the community as a collector and as a book writer and designer for, I don't know how long you've been doing this, longer, you've been in the community much longer than I have. I think that after you get through shipping and everything else, and the quality of the books you guys send out and the hardcover, I think that's a fair price. And it's not mass marketed. You own a piece of history and a collectible at that point. I think $100 is really, really quite reasonable.
It actually works out cheaper than our hardback Action Force books that me and Patty did.
And I have both of those, and I have a bone to pick with you because now I have both of those in hardback. I have one of them in softback, but not the other in soft.
Do a second edition of Total Action Force Volume 2.
So yeah, I may be speaking from a place of I'm already bought in, you know, because I bought one of your books twice, just in a different cover format. And I'm telling you right now that I want the other one in also a different cover format. And you have a Star Wars book that I still hope that you find a publisher for. I really don't think that $100 is a deal breaker here in any sense of the world for what this is and how it's being made and, you know, the limited access to it. I think that's really, really fine and reasonable. I'm excited for it. I hope that sometime in the next few years that the American audience can see you and Patty at shows and actually get to shake your guys' hands. When I say American audience, I really just mean me, but sure, other people too.
We would love that. Like, I mean, me and Patty have been talking about getting over to America, and it always comes down to that sort of trying to juggle multiple projects and commitments. But I really, really, really want to go. And I'm not ruling out getting over to America this year. But it probably works better for me if I plan 12 months in advance. And I would really now need to start planning now for next year.
See, I want to do this. I want to do the opposite, where I want to get over to where you guys are. I want to come and visit Ireland. I want to come and visit Scotland and Wales and England. And I want to get over to the European mainland. I want to go to Spain and everywhere else. I want to bring Alexander, so that's 2 plane tickets for me. And I can't stop buying books and toys. So I got to make the choice, right? Is another book for the shelf, another book for my grubby hands and my late night reading, or coming and seeing everybody? Eventually the latter will win out, but right now we're still talking about the former, and I need more books. This is one of them. When you told me about this, like, I want to talk to you about these things. I, you know, like, we can talk about a thousand things, and we do, but like, I want to talk about this because of what it is. I've referenced a couple Hasbro things because they're comparative, and I've gone down those roads, and I have that knowledge, and I've read them, and it enriches the experience for me in buying the toys and the comic books. Going out and finding the Del Rey books or a poster here. And so I can only imagine if the Hasbro stuff is that enriching for me. And then yours and Patty's 2 books were enriching for me. Although I still have yet to take my first steps in trying to buy the old paper or the old newsprint battle comics.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's a whole other level of effort. I can only imagine how much more Bob's book is going to bring to that table. Bob wrote it, 90,000 words. It's twice as many words as a total Action Force book. You're helping him design it. You are a designer by trade. If anyone who's ever held your total books, they know the quality of your design work and your photography. With this book, are you adding toy photography in, or are you just taking his old photographs and paperwork and stuff like that for this book? How are you designing that part of it?
It's going to be a combo of the two. Now, it will probably be more archival imagery because it is a history book, so we have to show images that are relevant to the particular periods that are being described. But there will be a lot of toy photography in there. So, for example, in terms of what I'm contributing, that front cover design that we've shared, maybe most of the images, most of the toys on that are my photographs incorporated into that design. So, in fact, you would say all of the boys' toys are all shots that I've taken, and the girls' toys have come from third-party sources that we've had to reach out to get permission to use them. Because I don't have a lot of girls' toys in my collection. But I'm going to say, as part of the research on this book, the Pippa doll series and the Action Girl series are amazing.
Sure.
I mean, they're great designs. And if I could easily and affordably get some of those pieces for my collection, I would totally do that. In terms of other image sources, we're going out to some of the kind of big picture libraries like Getty Images, Alamy, Stock Photo. We can get a lot of historical stuff from them. But we've contacted as well, say, the Leicester Mercury, which is a big newspaper from Bob's hometown. And they have a huge image archive that they've given us access to that archive. We can buy pictures or license pictures from them at a very reduced rate, which is great for us. DC Thompson, another massive publisher in the UK, we've got access to images from their archive. Private collectors that we've contacted in the girls and boys toys categories have agreed to share their photographs as well. So that's amazing. So we have the amount of visual material that we have for this book. It's huge. I mean, look, we're we're going for 256 pages with this campaign. It should really be double that, because we have that much content. We have hundreds and hundreds of images. I would nearly say thousands of images. We won't get them all into the book, but we will get a lot in. I mean, it is going to be an illustrated history of Palitoy. So that word illustrated is not taken lightly. It will be very visually rich. But my original photography components, you know, coming right back to the original question, will be a small percentage of that. But it won't be the way, say, with the Total Action Force books, where it's very, you know, very prominent in the books.
256 pages of Bob's words, his experience, plus the history beyond him, hitting the girls' side and the boys' side, the different brands he worked at, and then your design chops, which is no small thing. And then all of the archival photographs, reaching out to collectors who could and agreed to share. This is a book you can't miss. It's almost embarrassing how I get stymied as you talk, instead of having like a pithy comeback or add on to everything you're saying. Instead, I'm just stammering, and it is embarrassing how tongue-tied I'm getting just thinking about all the stuff you're giving in this book. And most of us may never get to meet Bob. Like all of our forefathers, he's getting up there, and we may not get over there to see him at a show. It's not likely he's going to be making a U.S. tour anytime soon. And just like Kirk and Ron, just like Prupus, who came before, and everybody else, like, this is the older generation. For Bob to have been involved from the beginning, you know, a lot of his peers are probably already gone.
That's a sad truth. You know, you said it there, Jason, we've got a generation of amazingly creative people on the design side, the production side, the marketing side. They created, probably before with them at the time, was just a job. They were creating products, but they touched the lives of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of kids. And their legacy, you know, it's their legacy, the legacy of those people that we're trying to preserve, so that I'm trying to preserve in my books, and Bob is certainly doing the same in his book. I mean, it's not just an academic, you know, timeline of Palitoy. I mean, it's a human story, and it really does, you know, bring the people of that made Castaloid, that made Palitoy, that made the toys. They come to the fore in that, and that's something that resonates with me, because that was my goal. That was my number one goal with the Total Action Force, the Battle Years book, was to tell the story of the people behind Action Force, because I could see how passionate and how knowledgeable American collectors were about the creators of G.I. Joe. Everybody knows Kirk Bazigian. Everybody knows Larry Hama. Everybody knows Ron Woodash on the American side, right? But on the British side, you don't hear the fans talking about the people as much.
And we need that.
Absolutely, we need that. So hopefully we've achieved that in our books, and I can see where Bob is, independently from anything that I've ever done, he's doing the same thing. He's celebrating the people behind the story in his book. And that makes that human story is what really that touches me. And, you know, I think it makes it a better piece of work.
I think it's beautiful that he has been here long enough and has seen our landscape change enough where he felt like it was time, and he took that time and that effort to capture not just his story, but everyone else's. Because you're right, I don't know a lot of the European names, and I wish we knew more. You know, because we look at, you know, here production, there was some production in Rhode Island, and then there was some production in Texas and a couple other places, and then it goes over to China. But you guys have production right there on the ground, which your own books have talked about, the buried pits and things like that. So what you just said, like, it's not just somebody with a pencil or somebody with, you know, an accounting sheet, but there was actual manufacturing right there. So it's from soup to nuts, from front to back, for generations, 1919 to 1960. That's no small time frame. And then from 1960 into the 80s and 90s, before they finally shut down, I think it's going to be fun to sit down and read. I hope I can read it without bugging you too much as I read it. Brian, I'm on this chapter.
Oh yeah, do you know what? That'd be just like me and Carl with the Dragon Ball Z comics. Like we're constantly going, "Where are you in the story now?" I can't really tell you because it'll be a spoiler.
Yes, the book I referenced earlier, the Toy Wars. Pat Stewart and Chris Murray recommended that book to me. They brought it up in one of their panels, and I said, "Well, what's that?" And they went, "Oh, you haven't read this? I think you would love it." I had it within 3 days, and it took me a little while to read it. It's written from a journalist perspective. It is the human story, but it's also a little dry, and I loved it. And again, I'm only bringing this up as a comparative, like, this is not just a journalist doing it, but this is Bob's lived story. So when he talks about, you know, certain people in the office, those are his colleagues and his friends, the people he had a beer with, watched sports with, as well as just saw around the office.
100%. In fact, even I was messaging with Bob there this evening, and we just put up a post, you know, promoting the campaign there on Facebook. And it's a set of postcards that are part of one of the reward levels that feature some of the different toys from Palitoy. And the image I showed Bob, the design there, it's earlier today. So look, are you happy with this? You know, I can post this later on. And he was happy with it. But he said to me, yeah, it features Captain Zargon. So he's the bad guy, the Action Man universe. And Captain Zargon, Bob explained to me, was designed by Greg Hughes, one of the designers in Palitoy, which I didn't know that. And I probably should have known that. But I'm familiar, because of my research in this project with Bob, I'm familiar with Greg Hughes' design work in other areas. And Greg is a brilliant designer, brilliant illustrator. And for Action Force fans, they'd be familiar with Greg's work. He illustrated the comic strips that came with the Series 1 vehicles.
Oh, wow.
So when you got your vehicle, you had all your paperwork, your instructions and everything. And then there was this little fold-out, one-page comic strip illustrated by Greg Hughes. And his illustration style is just so distinctive, because you can see his concept sketches, which we're looking at for Bob's book. You can see the way he draws faces and everything. It's exactly like those little Action Force comic panels. So it was great to kind of, you know, for Bob to say, yeah, Captain Zargon, that was designed. He's like an iconic bad guy in the Action Man universe. So to hear that was designed by Greg Hughes, that was kind of a cool nugget of information that had kind of gone over my head. You know, I'm sure I've seen it somewhere in the past, but I'd forgotten about it.
Is Greg still with us?
Do you know, I believe Greg is still with us. I believe he is. But many of Bob's colleagues are not, unfortunately.
The cool thing here is that you're bringing up, when you talk about Zargon, you're talking about the 12-inch stuff.
Yes.
We need to get this out to the 12-inch guys, right? Not just the 3 3/4 folks, but the 12-inch people. And then, as you said, he's worked on Star Wars. He was on the team for the Death Star. He was on other Star Wars stuff. All of these different communities, like, how many communities can one person bring together, right?
But do you know what? It's actually amazing. We've got our, because you say we've got the Action Force, we've got the 12-inch Action Man, G.I. Joe. Of course, all those Palitoy innovations on Action Man were all transferred over to G.I. Joe in the States as well. We worked on the girls' toy side of things. Tressie, again, I think was a licensed doll. So it's an American product that was licensed by Palitoy, and they did their own spin on it. Action Girl, Pippa, Tiny Tears, one of the biggest dolls that Palitoy produced. And then we haven't even got into the mainline railways, and then all of the other kind of licensed TV shows like Batman and Kojak and all the stuff they produced for that. Bonanza.
He worked on all these as well?
Bob would have worked on, not sure if he did Bonanza, but definitely Kojak and Batman. He would have worked on those.
I mean, okay.
I know. It's just mind-melting when you realize how diverse this man's portfolio is. It's unbelievable. And nobody really knows this about Bob because, like I said earlier, he's so modest. But when you read it in the book, this guy has touched practically every toy produced in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Not just local stuff, but world toys.
Yes. His influence is amazing. And, you know, that's really, we need to shout about that a bit louder. And I'm just saying that more to myself. Like when I'm
talking
about Bob and about this book and about this campaign, we're really talking about a heavyweight of the toy industry here. But because he's so nice and so modest, maybe he doesn't get the credit that he really does deserve.
I can assume if he was here, he'd be trying to like downplay some of this. His absence just means we get to fan a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Everything that I know about it from Bob's history, now everything you've talked about with me, everything I've heard you talk about with Chris or seen in the campaign, you know, I'm already interested, and this is just making it bigger and bigger and bigger. This is insane.
Even if you're not a reader, it's going to be packed full of great images of toys.
In general, like, I'd never want our conversations to just be a 40-minute commercial. And I feel like that's what this is, because I am legitimately stymied hearing all these things, and just, I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it.
I'm hungry for this project as well. And I really am. My hope for this is this is a book. I mean, the Action Force books I made for myself. If I'm totally honest, Total Action Force, The Battle Years, was a book I wanted to make for me, because it didn't exist. And I love Action Force, and I wanted to tell a story that I felt was important to tell. So that was, I was the market for that book. With this particular book here, I want to make this book for me, but I also want to make it for Bob, because I know how important it is to him. He's pushed not just his professional career, has been committed as a product designer in the toy industry, but in his retirement years, he's been putting together, researching this and putting this together. Like, he's been working on this for a long time. So for Bob, I want to get this campaign funded. I want to design the best book I have ever designed. That the benchmark is that this has to surpass the Action Force books for me, because that's how much respect I have for Bob. I want to make the best book for him that I can possibly make. And I really hope that the community will get behind us, because I know they're going to love it.
Yeah.
I know, get this book in their hands, they're going to love it. And it's a celebration of a toy company. It's not a celebration of Bob, because Bob is too modest. He's not celebrating himself in it. It's a celebration of Palatoy and its legacy. But when you read between the lines, you can see how influential Bob was across all the different stuff that Palatoy worked on.
At the height of Action Man and Action Force, what was his title?
He would become the chief designer.
Okay.
At Palatoy. So he was chief designer. He didn't obviously start in that particular role.
Sure.
As the design department kind of, you know, evolved, and there was some kind of shifting with kind of different staff members or whatever, that position of chief designer became available, and Bob moved straight into that role. So I'd have to consult the book to see exactly what year that was. But as chief designer, he would have had oversight over the entire design department. So all of the, certainly by the time Star Wars came on board, he was in that chief designer role.
He was a designer who was designing the toys, and then he took over a team of designers. So he was, there's never a point in the G.I. Joe, Action Man, Action Force history that his hands aren't somewhere in the food being made.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if he didn't make the exact, your favorite exact figure or vehicle or playset, he had a hand in the preparation of the larger meal at some point. I think this is the best person to have written a book, if that's the case, right? That we're talking to the man.
We're talking to the man, absolutely. Yeah, and for those 12-inch Joe collectors, you know, a big part of the 12-inch stuff is the uniforms. Bob did a lot of uniforms, you know, so particularly for the British military, the historical British military, and what would become, I think, the World Soldier series for G.I. Joe or Action Man.
Oh, yeah.
Loads of that stuff was Bob. So it's not just molding, you know, or sculpting with plastic or wax. His design goes across clothing, figures, vehicles, board games, electronic games. It's, he, you know, he he was a very diverse designer in his day.
I think whether you're us who have a million 3¾ and 4-inch figures, I think there's a lot of obvious here. Everybody needs to be in on this book from the 12-inch perspective. You and I were just talking. There was a Star Wars show here in town 2 days ago. That community needs to get into this book. And then, you know, girls' toys, you know, in today's environment, today's parlance, it feels a little delineating between girls' toys and boys' toys instead of just saying toys. But that's what it was for 30, 40 years, right?
Exactly.
The girls' toys are so underrepresented in our media and our books and everything else. So for someone like Bob, who worked on the girls' side of the line and is representing that in his book, it's another community that needs to put their hands on this.
We know Bob from the Action Force community. Bob is known in different toy communities across all the different brands, and he has been for many years. So, for example, when we started to plan going live with the Kickstarter, Bob invited me into some of the girls' toys collector groups that he's already a member of, and is already known in those groups. So there's the Tressy group, for example, and I've been kind of following a lot of the posts in there because it's the design work is fascinating. That Palitoy produced their own variant clothing for the Tressy outfits. So you can get the Palitoy specific items of clothing are quite rare for Tressy collectors. And you can see that the group is made up of men and women.
That's awesome.
Well, so it's a really interesting dynamic in those groups. And what I'm learning about the toy history side of it and the variants and stuff, I mean, it's just as rich a collecting hobby as Action Force or G.I. Joe.
This book needs about 50 grand US. I don't know what that is in euros. Sorry, I apologize. Very American of me. To fund. It's not quite there yet, but it's well on its way. I think if people understood what this is, it would be further. Like, I don't see how it couldn't be. I am excited to see this. I'm excited to see this go forth. And once this is done, you know, he's written the words, you're doing the design. Once the Kickstarter's done, you guys are not slow on your turnaround, and you've always shipped on time, which I know Kickstarters are known for, both to start once the money is gotten and to ship at least a year late. And you guys have done neither of those things on your previous books. Speaking for you, I guess, I don't feel nervous about handing you guys money and knowing that the book's going to show up. You know, outside of this, you guys were, I've mentioned a couple times, you guys were on the Full Force.
Yes.
You guys were also, you guys are doing a Star Wars show soon, or you've already done it?
We're going to talk to one of the Star Wars podcasts. We'll be doing an interview in the final week of the campaign.
Okay.
So that will go out probably just with a couple of days still to go.
Whenever that comes out, make sure you share the link so that I can help share it around as well.
Thank you.
And then you've also done another couple talks that, and Bob's done a couple things. So Bob's not here with you and I today, but Bob was with you and Chris, and he's done a couple other things. At least from a U.S. contingent, if you're not familiar with Bob, you should be. I can see the influences going both ways, right? Not just from us to you, but coming back. It's really something special when you have one of these forefathers putting it in words. I think it's imperative on us to support someone who helped our childhood, helped why we still do this as adults. And then from a historical standpoint, to keep that history safe, to keep that history close, to not let that history die.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's like you can lose a lot of information if it's not kind of, you know, passed on or written down. And so look, to take your point there, you know, that's, you know, Bob has put together this master, I think it's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of that captures the legacy of Palitoy, and really community comes together, makes this book happen. We're going to have a beautiful piece of work that captures this magical time. It talks about the toy industry as a whole, but really focusing on this magical period in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that all of us as adults today can totally relate to. Let's pull together. Let's make this happen. And by, you know, certainly by April next year, everybody's going to have their copy of my Palitoy story in their hands, if not sooner.
It'll go right to the top of the reading list. We need this book. You know, outside of this book, what do you have going on?
It's a busy time at the moment. We've got, obviously, myself and Paddy have completed the first draft of Total RoboSkull, and that is with Ben and the team at Skeletron. So they have to, they need to read over that and give us their feedback. And that's what they're working on right now, is pulling all that together. And as they work through the process with developing the figures and the other toys that come together as part of the RoboSkull package, we'll be including information about the different figures and different characters. We'll be fleshing that out. Those pages are written and the design is drafted, but we need to get the photos of the product in there. And part of the design that we've proposed is that I'll be creating dio photos or action photos with each of those characters to complement. So it'll be like a spread. You'll have a dio photo, and then you'll have the character profile page as a spread. So when we say the first pass is done, that's a huge amount of work is complete. But there's still a bit of work for us to do in terms of finishing it off, getting it over the line. That will move fairly quick. Once the guys have kind of samples in hand, we'll move fairly fast with pulling those last few pages together.
Will there be much Bob in that book?
Well, do you know what? Bob actually is contributed quite a bit of content at the beginning of the book. So we'll just break it down for people.
Well, it's just another obvious reason to get this Bob book.
Bob's written the foreword for Total RoboSkull. And he's also, the historical chapter on the original RoboSkull was written by Paddy, but it was kind of reviewed by Bob. And again, bringing his attention to detail in there, a few little, kind of tweaks to make sure that everything is absolutely precise and accurate. And he supplied a lot of imagery that we can, from his personal collection, that we have included to illustrate that chapter. So for RoboSkull lovers, Total RoboSkull is the total and complete story of RoboSkull to date, or at least it will be when it's printed and in people's hands in the coming months.
I have heard that Ben will not be at Joe Fest. So I guess, Mark, I'm coming for you to bug you about Total RoboSkull. I like this. This is great news. The little RoboSkull drones that they gave us a taste of back in January was unexpected, exciting, a shit ton of fun. I think those drones took over every vehicle. Or that wasn't even January. That was in December that those happened.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that was pre-Christmas. I'm excited to hear how far you guys are on that book as well. And then I hope to see something else from you, from Paddy, and from you and Paddy.
Myself and Paddy have revealed already that we are working on a Total Hacks Volume 2.
Excellent.
So I know Joel would be very interested in that. I'm really excited about the Total Hacks Volume 2. Just to give you a sense of where that's at, Paddy has the first draft of the text done. It's already written. Now, he will give it another swipe, and it will be proofread after it's been typeset by me. But it's like first draft of Paddy's a pretty good first draft, you know? There's a lot of photography done already, but the most amount of work that's outstanding will be getting all photography of all the figures. So that'll fall to me to get that done.
When this is further down the pike, will this be something that you guys kickstart, or will this be something that Boss Fight has published and sells through their avenues?
This will be a forthcoming Kickstarter. There's some timing things we need to work out with Boss Fight that we have to kind of align with their schedule on a few things. But I'd be hopeful that we'd be able to bring it to Kickstarter not long after Bob's campaign ends. So, this summer would be a timeline that I'd be happy with. It's just a case of if we can align it with Boss Fight's schedule as well. But the sooner we can bring it to Kickstarter, the better, because I think this one is going to be really special for the Boss Fight collectors, for the Vitruvian Hacks collectors. This is going to be a really, really nice book. And there might be a few nice other rewards in there too, which I can't really talk about. but definitely very excited about that project.
I don't know, in the time that I've known you, I don't know if you guys have taken a breath or taken a break. You have multiple books in the fire. You have multiple projects individually and together. Do you sleep? Like, is this a...
I don't know. Joe, I actually have a family vacation coming up, and I really, I'm so looking forward to it because I don't take holidays very often, and I do work very hard because I don't just do books. I do work as a designer. I do a lot of museum design work. So that keeps my schedule also very, very busy. But I'm lucky in that I love what I do. It's a pleasure. I only work on projects that I love. And I'm lucky as a designer that I'm in that space now. I'm in that kind of place in my career where I can select the jobs I want to work on. And I don't have to take on stuff that I don't want to do. You know, thankfully, I'm not desperate. So I'm very blessed, you know, very lucky in that way. So it means that while my decks are very full, it also means that I'm having a really good time.
I think that shows through in your work because your work is beautiful. Both your design work and your photography work. When we first met talking about Total Action Force, you know, I was complimenting you on all the photographs. And then I asked who was the designer and you were like me because I had been complimenting that separately. And I just hadn't put those two together. So it shows in both sides of what you're doing, at least in your partnerships with Patty, that you're having a good time. And I think we'll see that with Bob's book. At least I have no fear, no pressure on your end, right? But I have no fear that it's going to be beautiful.
I'm very lucky to have a creative partner like Patty. He's a brilliant guy to work with. But equally, Bob has proven to be really enjoyable person to work with too. And as a creative person himself, he understands the design process. So he's very, he gives me a lot of freedom to do what I need to do. And that works great for me. And it means that, you know, when a designer has that kind of creative space, they're going to do their best work. And with a bit of a deadline as well, that also helps too.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
I mean, these are our forefathers, and now we get to walk with these giants. It's kind of cool.
That is actually, I never thought of it in those words, but we get to walk with those giants, dude. That is a great way to put it.
This has been the Order of Battle.